Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking today with Dr. Catherine Jones from Prescott South Elementary School. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here today.
We appreciate you coming and chatting. Long list of people who are more important than me that have the lives of the little ones in their hands.
So. I appreciate being part of the little lives.
Yeah. All right. So introduce yourself. Tell me a little bit about how long you've been in education. I know we've been around a while in education, but tell me a little bit about it.
So I was raised in Cookeville. We moved to Cookeville when I was 6 months old. Both my parents worked at Tech. Then family dynamics shifted. So I have a third parent who also worked at Tech, which is fabulous. Lucky me. And I went to Tech Campus School till second grade locally. Then Northeast opened. So I got to open Northeast. Fun fact, I also opened Prescott Central, closed it, and opened Prescott Elementary. I have been in education, I'm just going to say, a long time. I was a teacher and assistant principal. I've been a principal. This is my 15th year as principal at Prescott Elementary.
Okay. And did you go through Tech's education program?
I did. I went through. I have 3 degrees from Tech, which I'm very fortunate to be able to learn my whole life. And then for my final degree, I went to TSU.
Okay. And the campus school, so some people may not even realize that there was a campus school.
Yes.
On
Tech campus. It was where the STEM Center is now. And all of my siblings, we all went through Tech campus, and then they closed when I was entering third grade. And that was a really neat experience. It influenced me when I partner with Tennessee Tech. I often want to replicate the practices of having a campus school. That was actually my dream, was to have a campus school that was directly related to a university. Mm-hmm. Just the partnerships that you can develop and the research that's available. Mm-hmm. So we partner with Tech as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, and that was really probably ahead of its time. I know there are partnerships today. There are campus schools in places, mm-hmm. but it was really probably kind of ahead of its time.
Yes, and we have a teacher at school right now, Kelly Webb. After her interview process was complete and we had hired her, I learned that her grandfather was my principal at Tech Campus. And that was a full circle moment for me. I thought, how funny that I went through that school and he influenced me, and then I get to hire his granddaughter. So pretty neat.
That is fun. Did you have, was there a mascot? Were you also the Golden Eagles, or did you have your own mascot?
I do not know. Honestly, I was, we didn't have teams. There wasn't anything like that. So I bet we were probably Eaglettes at best.
At best.
Yeah, but it was a bunch of faculty members, kids for the most part. And so you already knew them from everybody moved here to, you know, be part of the university.
Yeah, that's fun. And of course, you know, the closest thing we have to that now is the Child Development Lab, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of a different focus. But
great,
still
experiences.
Very popular.
Yeah. Really good experience for the people who work there. Mm-hmm. It's a good resume piece. It shows that you know how to work with children and families, and great experience for the employees and great experience for the children.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. A very important piece of Tech's campus still.
Yes.
So one of my favorite questions, and I'm going to come back to you getting an education and moving up in your roles. But I want to know your favorite teacher growing up. And this tells me a lot about people when they explain that.
It's funny. I can name pretty much every single teacher I ever had, and all of them had a positive influence along the way. But it's funny that I married and my last name became Jones, because Barbara Jones was my 4th and 6th grade teacher. And if she could say this, she would probably say I did my very best to be a teaching assistant for her in 4th and 6th grade. I remember asking to do bulletin boards and trying to clean out cabinets, and I wanted to organize things and grade things. And that was probably my first sign of going into education without consciously realizing it.
Yeah.
But I think you remember more about your later years. And I'm going to say in middle school, I think I struggled a little bit in middle school with just emotional things that were going on in life. And some of those teachers were extraordinarily great in involving me when it kind of took a little extra to involve me. I remember being a basketball manager and that they took me in and let me do that so I would be involved, although I was not a talented basketball player, and anybody in junior pro could, they would witness that. So I wanted to be a part, but just... I think everybody who works with kids is doing it to try to help the individual in the situation they're in. And I truly think I'm who I am today due to family and then all the positive educators I had.
Yeah. And family, I assume you had teachers. You mentioned professors.
Yes.
Teachers, professors in the family.
Yes. My father's parents were both teachers. And then my dad and birth mom were both teachers. And I'm a teacher. And then I have two cousins on my mom's side that are both teachers. It's just what we do. Mm-hmm. So it's you can't help it. If it's in you, you can't help it.
You can't. even if you try to avoid it, which some people do, yeah. and then we see them a lot at Tech. They come back around and they're like, you know, I started out in biology because somebody said I should do that. I really just want to teach. Can I just teach? And I'm like, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And I'll get them on that path.
Yes. It's a really fun profession to work with neat little individuals and adults who want to help kids. Like, I'm very fortunate. I enjoy my profession a lot.
Yeah. And there are so many things that have changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could talk about that for hours, but in general, just wanting to make a difference, that has not changed.
I agree. And honestly, I feel like we're doing the best work right now that we've ever done. Like, just the practices that we have in place, there's more research. We understand more about learning. We understand more about high expectations and inclusion. And I just feel like it's as good as it's been in my entire career today. And so it keeps you excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth the work.
Yeah.
I like it. It's impressive.
Certainly. Yeah. Yep. So you said that you used to help teach. Now, at some point, did you always know? I mean, all the way through middle school, junior high,
I did
high
not.
School, I'm going to be a teacher.
I would say my dad probably wishes that I knew, but I was wrapping up my second year of college with no declared major.
Okay.
And we were playing process of elimination. and I took a 101 class with Danny Higdon.
Okay.
And went on a field trip, and I came back and I was like, that's a college major.
Yeah.
And I was like, two kids got in a fight and we got to find out what you do about that and how you handle it. And then we got to watch somebody teach. And it was just, to me, it just seemed so fun to be able to help people, like, for a living. They're like, it's a full-time job. And so that was kind of the beginning. So once I got through I call them my 101s and my 202s and got into education, it was like, you couldn't hold me back. It still is. That's why I kept going back to Tech.
Uh-huh.
I just like learning about education. I like research. I am a lifelong learner just to try to help people. My whole goal is to find a way to help them be their best self.
Mm-hmm. And there's always so many things to learn. I mean, and that's the, you know, sometimes when I say I've completed additional degrees, you know, and gone through all this, they're like, sounds like it's very painful. It's so much, but I'm always eager to learn. I mean, there's always something new to learn.
Well, and to be truthful, and I think any adult would say this, but the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm constantly saying, how do you know that? Like, why don't I know that? And so, you know, with all these grades and all these standards and all the subject matter, and then the adult side of it, I'm just like, ooh, that was interesting. How do you know that? And I go dig into whatever that information is, and now we've got ChatGPT to help us. So I've got this best friend that is kind of secret, and I can ask it lots of questions when I'm curious. Where, you know, when you're little, you have to find an encyclopedia a book or something. So it's so much faster than it used to be.
Yeah, and we may have to stop and explain what an encyclopedia.
Yeah,
you know, I had the Encyclopedia Britannica. I had the set. My great grandmother bought those, which she was a teacher, by the way. Bought those for us early on.
Yep.
Who even has those anymore?
Yes. No, they would be collector's items. Carl Owens introduced my friend Mindy Hoskins Lloyd and I to the internet in a class at Tech. And I remember we were like, it was like someone opened the door to the universe, and you had no idea what that was the beginning of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that way with AI. I said, I remember when it was first released, I said, this is similar to the introduction to the internet. Like, this is going to be life-changing, and it has been. It's a slow roll, which is nice, as it should be. So lots of decisions to be made, but it's a really neat tool.
Yeah. And you take advantage of it. I know that we do in so many ways. I know that Putnam County School uses Magic School.
We don't so much at elementary, but I know that there are appropriate places for it for sure.
Yes. And just so many opportunities to me, mm-hmm. just for efficiency as much as anything else.
And just like the internet, you need your limitations. Mm-hmm. You know, there need to be guardrails and guidelines, especially if children are involved.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of opportunity.
Yeah, always, always. So then you're rolling along as a teacher. You mm-hmm. were you always teaching middle school, elementary?
I taught fifth grade.
Okay,
I taught fifth grade for 3 years at the original Parkview, and then Putnam County Schools moved fifth and sixth grade students to where I went to junior high, and it was a fifth and sixth grade middle school, Prescott Central Middle School,
mm-hmm.
and I taught there for several years, and then I was an assistant principal there. And then the county built the Prescott campus, and so I was awarded the elementary principal position at that time.
Mm-hmm. And so something that you set out to do, you were like, oh, I'm going to be a principal. I still haven't met anyone that I've interviewed who said, in fifth grade, I decided I was going to be a principal, and that's what I'm going to be when I grow up.
I had a co-teacher who told me it was actually before I'd gone back to school. She said, you should be a principal. And I said, why on earth would I be a principal? And she said, you constantly have ideas. And it was before what I would call continuous improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, you're always trying to refine things and make them more efficient and make them better. And you have ideas. And everybody doesn't think that way. And I thought of it as sometimes teachers are perceived as bossy. And I thought, oh, I hope people don't think that I'm trying to do something like that. You know, you always worry about what people think of you. And then I was talking with another friend who said, no, you should go back to school. You would love it. And I said, no, you don't know me, but I'm really not that academic. And then I went back to school and I never quit going. So I'm more academic than I realized. But it has to be in the right subject. If you sent me to engineering school, I wouldn't last long.
Yeah. Well, so you say, though, you may be interested in that.
Yeah. Well, I like engineering. You're right.
Be careful.
But parts of it is what I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a short break and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about Prescott. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Dr. Catherine Jones from Prescott South Elementary. So we talked a little bit about how you got to where you are, but let's talk about Prescott just a little bit. I know that there have been kind of variations and versions, different focus areas in Prescott over the years. I know that you worked as a STEM school for a while, and I know that's shifted a little bit. What's the focus? What are you doing fun at Prescott? I know you still have a STEM coach.
Yes. We are our main focus, I'm going to say, in Putnam County is refining or strengthening our literacy, especially early literacy focus. And because what we've learned is if you have the fundamentals in reading and in math, it creates so much more success and so much more opportunity later. So we're really honing in on what's called Tier 1 instruction, core instruction, using high-quality instructional materials. And then we have intellectual prep with academic coaches once a week where we prep our units and our lessons, and our coaches are phenomenal. The county coaches are – the curriculum coaches are very gifted individuals. And so they really help support the classroom teachers and highlight the teacher strengths and help them – really realize the main focus for the high quality instructional materials. And the teachers will question, you know, does this lesson meet the rigor of the standard? And so we're actually strengthening a tool that's very strong. And then the teachers go back and they implement what we talk about. And then we analyze the student work to see, was it successful or what should we do differently? And it's open conversation. We recently had a meeting and one of the teachers said, the intellectual prep allows us to cooperate, not compete.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's a very strong statement. And if you're in education, you understand that you feel like you're in a fishbowl all the time. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's watching. And it's nice to have a team and you're all trying to lift each other up instead of compete with one another. And mm-hmm. we've always wanted to have teams at Prescott. It's kind of the way the school was set up. But once again, continuous improvement. We always want to improve. So we're very fortunate to be in a county that supports those practices and then holds us accountable. And then it really is like this was the first year our school received Reward School the county had the most reward schools they've had, which accolades to Corby King and his leadership team. He's got in place a lot of very talented, knowledgeable people doing a lot of hard work to help the county meet the potential it has. You know, we have a lot of great things going on in our county. And so they've put into place, they don't talk about it, they actually do it. And then they hold us accountable. It's you know, I'm not just going to give you the resources. I'm going to make sure you're using them. And those, just having those systems in place have really been fantastic to watch for the, we're wrapping up our second year with coach support, making plans for next year and really trying to work on equitable learning environments across the county. And a lot of collaboration and teamwork, teacher time well spent, very well spent.
Yeah. Well, and at the elementary level, you know, I think for our listeners, a lot of times you don't see the behind the scenes people. Like you know that, I know my child is in the third grade and I know they have a third grade teacher. But then you don't really see the literacy coaches and the math coaches and the teacher's assistants and all of those resources. I mean, there's so many resources that you have backing up that main teacher and assisting, and the coordination of that, to me, is hats off to you for doing that, you know, coordinating all that.
You just do the best. You try to make the most of the schedule and then make the most of the educational minutes and still let kids be kids, which is that's the part you got to – they're still just little kids, so we got to engage them and we got to get them thinking. But I'm going to say anybody on earth that you ask who their favorite teacher was and why, they were engaged in heavy, deep thinking. They just were. Like, that's why you like a teacher, because you learned from them. They made you feel good. They liked you. That's what people like. So you want to have a building filled with adults who love kids, who really want them to think and learn and just be them best, their best self. And then we have lots of things about, you know, we're going to be nice to our friends. And you don't have to be friends with everybody, but you need to be kind. You know, we need a world full of people who are, they understand we're not going to be best friends, but we can still be kind to each other. And that's part of elementary, part of the magic of elementary. I really enjoy.
Yeah. And the learning. And I know that the social emotional is such a huge part in building that as you go through elementary and just learning that, because some of the kids don't know.
It's something that has to be taught in the moment. Mm-hmm. You can't, in isolation, teach somebody to troubleshoot when there's nothing to troubleshoot. So you have to, you know, a problem has to arise, and then you have to talk them through it and let them think through it and hopefully empathize and understand the other person's point of view, or realize there's not a solution to this problem. We have to agree to disagree, and then off we go. You know, it's no fun to, I'm going to say, in my mind, I have like a basketball in my hand and somebody's smacking at the ball. You got to use your words. You don't throw the ball at their nose, all the things. I'm not saying, like, we know that people think, you just have to use your self discipline and make that good choice. And then, you know, hopefully by first, second grade, you're working your way through some of those decisions and getting praise for it, because that's a big deal. Like, there's so many wonderful kids. And then some people come from different backgrounds, and everybody's normal is a different normal. Mm-hmm. So we have a big block of a bunch of normals thrown into a school setting. So we have to decide what's going to be acceptable at school. And that's basically where we try to define some acceptable, and let's not do that, because that's not going to help somebody's day be a better
right.
day. Yeah.
Right. And that's, I mean, it's real world, you know, and it's, again, it's another thing that teachers do. And you know, I see sometimes it's just the misperception, you know, there's that teacher and I know that the teacher's teaching this. But then the joke is that teachers wear all these hats, but it's true.
Oh, it's true.
I mean, you know, it's all these different things. And
there's, there's nothing a teacher won't do. This week we invited in some animals.
Okay.
And our assistant principal, Sarah Harvick, literally spent from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the afternoon with 2 snakes, 2 turtles, a bird, a baby kangaroo. And made sure that, first of all, everybody in the school got to see it. And then if people wanted to, they could get their picture made. But when you have 550 kids and they want to get their picture made with multiple animals, it takes some time. Nothing's off limits. You might be holding a snake all day, and that's part of the job. And it's what you do because you want the kids to get to have the experience. And so our whole RTI team supported that. All the teacher's assistants supported that. But at the end of the day, we decided it was a great day. So
you know, to get the hands on.
Yeah. It's after testing. It's a little more relaxed. We're still teaching skills and reinforcing skills. But the kids were fantastic. We just told them they had to really think about their behavior because they were real animals and we didn't want to scare them or, you know, traumatize them. And to have 550 kids in an auditorium actively listening to a speaker, it was impressive.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Very proud of the population.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure that there are probably a few field trips and other fun things that you finally feel like, oh, we can get to that now that testing is out of the way.
Yeah. We have a performance per grade level, and then the different grade levels go on, I'm going to say, one or two field trips, depending on the grade level. And then they manage some on-campus field trips. Like, we're fortunate enough to have the Lion King at the middle school.
Yes.
So that was an on-campus field trip.
That's very nice to have those options. And that's one of the perks, and I know there are some perks, and I'm going to ask you about a few more of those, about having the K-8 campus combined together. Mm-hmm. So I know there's a long list of pros and cons. I don't really know any cons other than
it's
expense.
A benefit for the family.
Yes, it's
so
definitely
it's
a benefit
for the family. It's not about us. It's about the families. And it's a benefit for the families.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and wrap up the last segment. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Dr. Catherine Jones today from Prescott South Elementary School. Talked a little bit about the schools and your background, and I mentioned before the break, the K-8 style of school, and I know that personally, as a parent with children of different ages, that's very popular. I know that we didn't quite get to do that with Parkview, but do you see that as a principal? Do you see that as a model that you would like to see moving forward, or
those decisions are way above my pay grade.
But I'm sure you have an opinion.
Well, the way it's been stated to me is that there are K-8 campuses all over the state, and so if there's something that can be done, I'm sure Putnam County can do it. I can tell you on our campus, Tara Brooks is the middle school principal. I'm the elementary principal. We've seen each other three times this week, and all three times we're off campus. Like, you would think we would see each other quite a bit, but we try to collaborate on cross events that will benefit both populations. But we have to make an appointment and then actually show up to the appointment, and there has to not be a campus emergency that's happening for those things. It's just it's different than one would expect. When she took the job, I said, "You think we're going to see each other?" But you're going to be surprised. And now I'm like, hey, we saw each other at Teacher of the Year lunch, central office meeting. It's just kind of – we both have full-time jobs, and they do not overlap. We're two separate schools.
Yeah, they're very, very different, populations, very, very different set of needs. But again, you know, from a parent's perspective, it's on one campus, and that simplifies a lot of things in a lot of ways. So I know that I enjoyed having that. And, of course, you know, the larger schools, different for me personally, having grown up in a very small community with a K-12 school, which is kind of unusual today. But having that consistency across the years was important to me as a student.
Yeah. Well, if you're happy. You know what I mean? Like, if you're happy, then it's nice to have, wow, you get that whole experience. But I'm going to say we're fortunate to be in a county where they often do open enrollment for middle schools. Mm-hmm. And so if you do have a specific interest that one campus has a program that you prefer, a person that you're familiar with or has, you know, worked with your child in the past, you have the opportunity to make those decisions, which I think is a luxury. You know, that's not true in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our county works very hard. I know Mr. King works very hard in the school board to work with families and to really consider family needs. Mm-hmm. So they do a very good job.
Yeah. And it's nice to have, because Cookeville is growing and it is fairly large.
Rapidly,
yes.
Yes.
I would say very quickly, but yes. I do still feel like we have that small town feel with the school system. Yep. I feel like it still is family friendly, and it still is
yes.
small town friendly in so many ways.
That's the goal. As a principal, I need the parent to trust me, and we need a positive relationship as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to really settle down and listen and think through situations to support. Sometimes it's the child and sometimes it's the family, but sometimes there are two families involved. So I've got to be the mediator, you know, between to try to figure out how to help everybody have a positive experience. And I think we're fairly successful. I have a lot of, I lose sleep sometimes, but I lose sleep worrying about people most of the time not because somebody's upset with me, which is a better way to be.
Yeah. And it's the schools have really become a purveyor of services in so many ways. I know I know that you all have people on your campus regularly
yes.
who are connecting families with services
yes.
of all kinds.
I mean, the PEP Foundation at the community level, at the school level, we have two counselors. One is in the Encore rotation to just, I'm going to say, teach ASCA standards, which are just fundamentals that you want your child exposed to as they're growing through elementary that's age appropriate. It's a little more lighthearted, you know, an enjoyable experience. And then in addition to that, we have Centerstone counselors that come in. We have a social worker who can also work with students. And then we have student services employees who can work with specific families if they have additional needs. And then, as we were talking about, the PEP Foundation, the local churches that help with food bags. Mm-hmm. We just want to make sure if children have a need that if we have a resource that we can meet their need.
Mm-hmm. And I know the PEP Foundation has been around for a while, but I know that it's sort of shifted in its focus. I was at the fundraiser dinner recently, and I know that one of the examples that they gave was a child who had a hearing disability but didn't quite have the funds to purchase the hearing aid because they're exorbitantly expensive, and the PEP Foundation helped coordinate that and helped with getting that done. And to me, that's such a needed service that anyone who's listening that wants to contribute to the PEP Foundation, it's a good
that.
Plug.
Yeah, it's true. Or partner. Like if you have something that you feel that the community might have a need for, it can benefit your business to be a part of it. You make all kinds of connections from the business, but then you also have the feel good part of helping the family, which is probably why you have a business, is to help people. So, you know, fill a need that they have. So.
Yes, good work. And they do some celebrating of teachers. I know the PEP Foundation does. And I know that there's also a grant, remind me the name of the grant, that helps fund some of the teacher recognitions, some of the activities.
You can apply for the grant if you have something that you want to do with a student population.
Okay.
So you can apply for PEP funds for your school, for your class, for your program. And then they give as much as they can. You know, there's a limit to everything, of course. But it's just nice to have those options. Teachers spend a lot of money out of their own pockets, and often you dream big, but you can't afford to do all you dream. And so it's nice to have opportunities to fill out a grant application and try, you know.
Yeah, and to fund those things.
You always try.
Yeah, because there's always, as the spouse of a former teacher, I know that we spend a lot on things out of our own pockets for the kids in the classrooms. And that's what you do as a teacher.
True. And a lot. I mean, our PTO helps teachers buy things. We try our best to purchase what we can with school funds, but some things are wants, not needs. And that's where a teacher gives in every time. It's a want. Yes. They want this, and it's going to motivate them. So.
Yes, for sure. Well, speaking of grants, are there any big grant programs or anything on the horizon for that you all are looking at, things you're trying to nab so that you can get that latest cool thing?
Well, there are some annual grants that I think can be opportunities. We've at Prescott, we've tried to scale back a little bit. We took advantage of grants for several years in a row with our STEM program, and other schools are building their STEM programs. And so we've kind of pumped the brakes, but we have what we need. And so when there's not a major need, then we're going to back off. And I mean, you can always dream big and buy more things, but we're trying to really focus on the literacy pieces. We have one of our teachers has applied for a few years to get books, and so we've gotten several book grants where we have opportunities to let kiddos choose a book to bring home, or backpacks for the summer that they can mm-hmm. bring back and get rewarded for, you know, reading over the summer, just to try to give them something fun to do, you know, over mm-hmm. the summer. So there are lots of opportunities like that.
Yeah, to add to those collections, I know that as a teacher, as a book lover, you can never have enough books.
It's true.
There's no such thing as having too many books.
Yes,
certainly.
When you're a reader, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yeah, yeah. and trying to instill that into the kids, you know, mm-hmm. just being surrounded by things of interest, and you know. As a guy, I had specific interests, and there are a lot of things I wasn't interested in, but, mm-hmm. but you know, there are certain books you put in front of me, and I wouldn't put them down.
Yeah, a librarian is your biggest resource in that case. Like, what's next? Mm-hmm. After this, what's next? What else is out there? And they always know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're interested in this, then you're going here next.
Yes, yeah. and here's the next, the yep. next option. In terms of needs for your school, what are needs that you have for your school?
I feel
volunteers,
like,
subs, yeah, teachers.
We're really fortunate. I mean, there are times when there are needs, and our PTO has really helped us. We were, for a while, I'd say 2019, we were really trying to get that playground surface. Mm-hmm. And it was a need mm-hmm. because the kids never got to go outside and play because it was always yes. muddy and wet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're with PTO, we still fundraise, and then we have a savings account to try to keep it updated, and so so you have these background needs, but as of today, I really appreciate all the supports because I feel like we're in a pretty good place. I just need everybody to keep teaching and doing a good job.
Yes.
I need them to want to keep teaching.
Yes, to stay. So that yes. and that's one of my other questions. We're always trying to recruit teachers and get them yes. out to you. Where are the needs? The most pressing areas that you see in terms of trying to hang on and recruit new teachers?
I wish I had, if I could answer that, then I would be recruiting and getting all the best teachers. And I do. I'm going to tell you, we have an excellent faculty. I'm very happy. I just live in a nervous state uh-huh. because you never know. Someone's husband gets a job and then you leave a really effective teacher leaves we're back to the drawing board of let's post a position, see who applies. Here we go. I think my biggest thing I want teacher applicants to understand is that it's a really hard job all day long. Pushing kids and trying to get the most out of them almost feels confrontational, and teachers are nice people and they're not confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how people grow, is that you ask them to do something they're not real comfortable doing. And it's all day long, every day. Like mm-hmm. it starts at 7:45 when you're greeting them and they're starting their morning work and they need to put their backpack away. And then you release them for a little while and they have a recess or a lunch and then our whole job is to push people and to teach them, you know, and to question them and get them, help them be their best self. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to make bulletin boards and play games, and that's not.
Yeah.
Not where it is. So
yeah, yeah.
And
it is tough, but it's the reward at the end. To me, that's what sets it apart from other professions. You tug, you pull, you push, but then you get that reward.
Yeah.
Every child has a story.
It's
yes.
That we're about to have fourth grade graduation and senior reception and very rewarding events.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming. We've reached the end of our time coming out and
thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Come back anytime.
Thank you.